This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Miracle of Christmas, was delivered on December 15th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
I always say this, they make such an awesome team, yeah? It's because Jen is in charge and she tells him what to do. Thank you, James and Jen. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. I mean, mele kaliki maka, look at this. Only in East Hawaii can we have a beautiful day like this in Christmas, yeah? Everywhere else in the world, they got jackets on and they're digging themselves out of the snow and they're hating this time, but we love it here that we get to spend Christmas here. We're blessed, yeah? Well, I want to, first of all, welcome back. Personally, I'd like to welcome back all the 49er fans who stayed home last week to watch your team beat my Saints. And I know that you're here today because last week in the fourth quarter, you was down on your knees praying to God, God, if you let us win, I promise I go to church next week. Well, congratulations, and I'm glad you kept that promise because I want you to know one gigantic truth. And that is that in the end, the Saints win. We see you guys in the playoffs. Anybody caught the end of that game last week? Or that game was a great game. I mean, incredible game. Win or lose, you could appreciate that one. And I got home. I got home just in time. I got to turn on the TV. And I saw the score, Saints 46, 49ers 45. And I'm thinking, yay! And just over a minute left on the clock. And I thought, man, we're really going to do this. And then I see Jimmy Garoppolo pass the Kittles. And he carries like five Saints on his back down the sidelines. Even one of the DBs grabbed his face mask and couldn't pull him down. And man, I'm watching that. And, you know, tack on the 15 yards penalty, got them close enough, they kicked the field goal as time ran out, and man, you could hear my heart break. And I was ready to cry, except for the fact that louder than the sound of my heart breaking and my disappointment was the sound of my neighbor's voice screaming out, and he's just a diehard 49ers fan. And he screamed out, Merry Christmas, it's a miracle. You know, I'm sure the whole neighborhood was laughing with me because it was that loud. But after the laughter, I stopped for a moment and to reflect on that phrase, Merry Christmas, it's a miracle. And my neighbor had no idea how spot on he was. Because Christmas and miracle, they go hand in hand. Because Christmas in itself is a miracle. I dare say the greatest miracle of all. And it seems that miracles happen more often in this season than any other. Why is that? Why do miracles so often seem to happen around Christmas time? You know why? Because we're looking for them. And we're ready to receive them. We're also ready to believe them. You want to know what the true miracle of Christmas is? I'll tell you, but you're going to have to wait till the end of the message. You have to stay awake till the end of the message, because I'll tell you then. So, what do you mean when you say miracle? You know, if you ask this question to 10 different people, it's very likely that you're going to get 10 different answers. Some would say that it's a miracle when a missing body part grows out, or cancer unexplainably disappears. Some would say it's a miracle when my kid cleans his room. Or if my husband or wife comes to church. Our Christy Shiroma knows that one, yeah? And I thank God because you're an awesome miracle. Now some would say that it was a miracle when the Pahoa Daggers beat the Waikea Warriors 21-8 in football back in 1988. That was a miracle. But everyone has a different opinion as to what a miracle is. So here's how the dictionary defines it. It says that it's an event that appears inexplicable by the laws of nature and so is held to be supernatural in origin or an act of God. Let me put that in basic words because it's very accurate. A miracle is something that only God can do. It's something that God does. That's what a miracle is. So let me ask you this. Are you looking for a miracle this Christmas? Are you praying for God to do something in your life or in somebody else's life who is close to you this Christmas? I hope so, because Christmas is all about miracles. I know that I have been. You may have noticed over the past couple of months or so that Pastor Aaron hasn't really been himself. And I've been trying really hard, trying to keep my spirits up, because this is what I get to do. And I get to do this for you and for God. But it's been challenging. Others of you have noticed that Carlin, my wife, has been gone for the last 6 weeks or so. And I've even heard the rumor that some people put it together that she was gone and Aaron's been down. So they think she left me. So here's some honesty, okay? She did leave me for another man. But not in the way you think. Because on November 3rd, we became grandparents. Now, I wish I could tell you that everything's been wonderful and we've gotten to celebrate and all that. But the truth is, our little guy, we found out about 5 months into CJ's pregnancy that our little guy had this thing called dextrocardia. And if you don't know what dextrocardia is, it's that the heart is not aligned right and developed correctly. It's actually turned, and in his case, actually upside down, backwards and upside down. Now, that in itself is not a real problem. Many people operate in this way, but the thing is, not everything gets developed correctly in the womb because of that. And sure enough, his ventricles leading to his heart, there's a couple of things that didn't develop correctly. You're supposed to have 6 ventricles leading to your heart. He only had 1. And let me be really, really honest. When I first found out about this, I was mad. I got really, really angry. Angry at the world, angry at life, and I'm very ashamed to say, angry at God. And, you know, for the first time in that I can remember, for about a week, didn't do my devotions, didn't even talk to God, and just stayed away. I mean, it was very painful. I'm here thinking, man, Lord, I've given up my life for you. I do everything for you, and this is what I get? Well, finally, when I couldn't stay away from him any longer, I was down on my knees one morning, and I just said, Lord, why? Why all this? And I believe with all my heart, he said to me, because you need a miracle. And you need me in your life. And he asked me this, Aaron, do you trust me? And I said, Lord, I've trusted you with everything. And he said, then go with me on this one. So I have been. Now, I'd like to say after that was good, but the truth is, you know, believing in God. And I've done this so many times, millions of times. I've been with people on my knees with them, crying, feeling everything, hurting with them in situations like this. But I can tell you, man, I cannot begin to tell you how much more painful it is when it's your own and the struggles I've been going through. So, honestly, even though trusting in God for all things and with all my heart, the struggles are still there. And the suffering is there. And it's part of the miracle. Now, there have been miracles all along the way because he was, I only got to see him one day and I couldn't carry him when he was born in Kapiolani because of his special condition. And 2 days later, they shipped him up to Stanford Medical to do He's gone through 3 surgeries so far. And we knew from the beginning that this was a possibility. We also knew that he may be up there for up to a year if things go well. But along the way, God has carried me through all the struggling and suffering. He's carried me. And it hasn't been just one miracle. It's been miracle after miracle. Because you think about it, the first miracle is that 20 years ago, they could not detect this in the womb. And his chances of survival would have been like 3% had they not. Kapiolani is a miracle, if you guys have ever seen. And I've heard that Stanford Medical is even more. And then the miracle of the Ronald McDonald House. Things that we don't think about, but God has stepped in every step of the way and covered us. And through it all, I've been praying for that, you know, I don't care when. Just get my baby well and bring him home. And you know what God's been saying all along? He says, I can do this because there's nothing that I cannot do. In the book of Matthew, chapter 19, Jesus answers the question of what God cannot do. He says this, he says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. There's nothing that our God cannot do. And you know what? God is always doing. Question is, are we missing out on what he's doing? Missing out on miracles because we're not always watching. We're not always ready. Too often we're searching for miracles that are tangible, the healings, the spectacular, and we miss out on some really good ones just because we're not ready for them. Now, don't read me wrong. I don't want anyone to think that I don't like those kind of miracles. Fact is that I'm looking for one right now. Fact is that I love when my God interacts in a way that can only be explained as his doing. My heart races like with joy like anyone else when I get to witness or hear about somebody being healed or moved in a way that can only be accepted as godly intervention. But I constantly need to remind myself that it isn't the miracle that holds the highest importance. It is the miracle maker who is truly important. And way too often do we come to church, or do we choose to pray, or do we look only for his presence, only in search of something tangibly miraculous, where we desire that God be a part of our lives as the byproduct of a miracle. That's not the way that it should be. In fact, it should be the exact opposite, where we get to witness and be a part of something that God, that only God can do, because we're seeking him out first. Amen? Where the goal is my God in my life, and the byproduct is a miracle, his intervention. Now get this, God is ready and willing. Thank you, John. God is ready and willing to do miracles, to accomplish things that only he can. We have a very active God, and it's his very heart to be active in our lives, miraculously. The requirement is that we got to be ready for these miracles as well. And here's how. Number one, be ready to believe. Be ready to believe. As I just said, God can do all things. Nothing is impossible for him. However, here's the catch. The measure of the things he does is proportionate to the measure of faith, our faith, in him to do so. You see, if there's one thing that God really wants to do in our lives, it is to be God. That makes sense? He wants to be all-powerful, that all-powerful presence in our midst at all times. But he's not going to force it upon us. He's given us free will to do with our lives as we choose. And he won't go back on his word. But that doesn't mean that he's no longer God. And it certainly doesn't mean that he doesn't want to be God. In the book of Genesis, God tells Moses this. Moses is asking God, who do I tell the people you are? And this is what he says. Tell them, I am who I am. Would you write this down in your notes? God wants to be God in my life. God wants to be God in my life. And he won't force it upon us, but he sure does desire that we allow him to be that omnipotent God in our lives. And that begins in believing in who he is. He is who he is. He's God, a person by whom all things are possible. The author, Matthew, recorded many stories of Jesus' miraculous interventions, from healings to the casting out of demons, even to the raising of a girl from the dead. Then Jesus gets to his own hometown, Nazareth. It's where he grew up, and you would think that after hearing about all the things that he's done, that he's accomplished, that the people of Nazareth would have no trouble believing in his abilities as well. But that wasn't really so. What really happens, and I'm going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 13, but I don't have these three verses in your notes. Starting in verse 54, it says that coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. And catch this, in verse 58 it says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. See, what happened here is that even though they heard about what Jesus has done, even though they witnessed some of these miracles themselves, they reverted back to the finite thinking, which said, this is a little kid we saw running in the streets. He grew up among us. We know him. We saw him be born as a little baby. And they went back to finite thinking, which dictates that there are natural laws that say that some things are impossible. And that's true. They are. With man. And that was their very problem, that they saw Jesus as a man, somebody who had grown up in their midst. They couldn't see past his temporary shell, couldn't see that he was God, so they couldn't believe. You know, so often we're just like them, reverting back to the finite thinking, resting on the temporary natural laws and missing out on all on God and all his abilities. Let me reiterate this. With God, all things are possible. And all that we really need to do is allow ourselves to believe this with all of our hearts, to rely on his abilities, and to let God be God in our lives. That's it. In the book of Mark, another miracle story is recorded. There's this man whose son from the time he was very, very young, he's been overcome by this evil spirit, which causes him to convulse, even sometimes to hurt himself, throw himself on the ground, even throw himself into the fire. And he comes to Jesus and he says to him, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And here's God's response to that statement. It says, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Can you imagine that? Somebody comes up to Jesus and says, hey, Lord, if you can. And Jesus looks at him and says, if you can? You're not getting it. You don't understand who you're talking to, who I am. You need to believe that I can do everything and that everything is possible to him who believes. And at that point, I believe this man finally got it, because in the very next verse, he makes one of the most profound statements in the whole Bible. See, he says to Jesus, he says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And with that, he witnesses a miracle. You know, I've been praying that a whole lot lately. Every time I struggle, every time things look bleak, every time I get a phone call that there's one more surgery that's got to be done, I've had to get down on my knees and say, Lord, I believe. I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Doesn't that describe us so often? We get into situations that seem hopeless. We backed ourselves up against the wall. We're at the end of our ropes. Beyond human reason, And we cry out, Lord, if you can, please help me. And God is saying back to us, if I can, I can do everything. You just have to believe. You know, right now, I think it would be a great time to just say that to the Lord. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Because we want to see God intervening in our lives in a way that only He can. We want to see a miracle this Christmas. But we need to be ready to believe. Now, how does the saying go? Seeing is believing. Not so true when it comes to the kingdom of God. Not so true when it comes to our God. In the kingdom of God, believing is seeing. Babe, write that one down. That's one good one. That'll be my first message for next year. Believing is seeing, which brings us to point number two. Be ready to perceive. Be ready to perceive. Because very often, it's simply a matter of opening up the eyes of our hearts to see what God is doing to catch a miracle. I mean, just out of common sense, God can be doing things all around us, and He is. But if we got our eyes closed, we ain't gonna see one of them. Common sense, yes. Yet, it happens way too often. Maybe because we're looking in a different direction. Maybe because we're looking for something else. Maybe because we just don't trust Him. But we only get to see if we're looking. And many times God will require an action on our part before He shows us. You know, Jesus once did this with two of His disciples. I love this story where Peter and John, it was at the day of the Last Supper, and Jesus, He tells these guys, He says, listen, got this assignment for you. Go make preparations for dinner tonight. And, okay, simple enough, but where? Okay, now if I was one of these guys, and basically Jesus is saying, go make reservations at a restaurant so that we can all eat together. But if I'm one of these guys, I'd be thinking, okay, Jesus, give me an address. Tell me where. I'll punch in the GPS. Give me the credit card so I can cover the costs, and I'll call you when we're ready. But here's God's instructions. This is what Jesus tells them. He says, you go into the city, you're going to see a man carrying one jar of water. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner, where is the guest room that I may eat Passover with my disciples? Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Peter, I'd be thinking, what kind of directions are that? And he didn't even give us the funds or the way to pay for this. And then along the way, I would tell John, I would say, you know what, this is crazy. We don't have enough money for this. And then if we find this place, you talk to the owner, okay? Because he's just going to laugh at us and kick us out. Better idea. Got a better idea. Listen to this. Let's go fishing. Because we go fishing for a few hours. We catch one good catch. Then we go back to Jesus. We tell him we never saw the water guy. Might not have a place to eat, but at least we have dinner, right? Amen. Good thing wasn't Aaron. Good thing was Peter and John, who had spent enough time with Jesus to have enough faith in Him to listen to Him, who had enough integrity to obey Him despite the circumstance. Two guys who were ready to see a miracle. And the story reads out like this in Luke 22. It says, and they departed and found everything as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, as outrageous as the task at hand was, these guys were ready to perceive God at work. You know why? Because they knew that God would go before him and make the way. And that's just where they wanted to be, right where God was in their lives. Understand that miracles are going to happen where God is. And ultimately, we need to be where He is. That's where we will see miracles happen. In John 1, it tells another story of Jesus' disciples. says that Philip found Nathanael, and he told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Let me just stop right there for a moment, okay? It's kind of like, I can link it to this. Imagine if I was, I saw one of my friends in town and I said, "Hey, gotta come check out our church. We have this awesome pastor. He talk pidgin. We can understand. He speaks right into our lives. His name is Scott Shiroma from Paradise Park." Paradise Park. Can anything good come from Paradise Park? Okay, so that's kind of like what we're looking at right here, okay? And Philip answers with these three words. He says, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here's a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you. I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." You know, it seems that in every message I do, I always get the opportunity to encourage you to do devotions. And this is it. Because an important step in being ready to perceive godly intervention is to be right where he's at. And he's inviting us today to do just that, to come and see. Come and see what he's doing in our lives by getting into the word, by spending quality, quiet time with him listening, and by talking story with him in prayer every single day. Because the truth is, if we're not where he's at, then we're not ready to perceive miracles. Because that's the only place where they occur is where he is. So come to where he is and be ready to perceive. And then number three, be ready to receive. Be ready to receive. It's always that the key mark of a heart that is ready to receive is that it's a heart that's ready to ask with conviction. Mark 11:24 is the first scripture I ever memorized. It says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Notice that God doesn't say it might be yours. He says it will be yours. I also want to point out this. This is important. Take careful notice that Jesus doesn't say that it'll be yours right away or right now. He doesn't say it'll be yours in the way that you're thinking it will be yours. How many of you have come to know that God's agenda rarely resembles our own? And if you didn't know that, you do now. It will be yours, yes. But in God's perfect timing, in God's perfect plan, in God's perfect way. Out of a desire for our very best, he will never give us anything we're not ready for. But God says, ask. He says, ask. Because being in a place that we're ready to ask with conviction constitutes that we're ready to believe. It constitutes that we have our eyes open, ready to perceive. And it constitutes that we have our hearts in a place where he can mold them to be ready to receive. Amen? Now, I did promise you that I would tell you the miracle of Christmas was, right? But before I do, I want you to meet somebody. Some cute, no? Everybody meet Kekoa Saunders. Named after his grandpa. Actually, his name is Kenson Kekoa Saunders, named after his dad, then his grandpa. Can't say game over last night. Truly, Merry Christmas. It's a miracle. I finally got to hold my grandson last night, and he cried the whole time. I don't care. Oh, thank you, John. You know, in the last 6 weeks, every time Carlin sent me a picture or video of him, I just fall in love all over again.
It's the eyes.
It's the eyes. And I understand over and over again why God used a baby. I mean, he could have used this massive warrior. He could have used some great politician, somebody who could speak real well. He could have used some cosmic being to come and be the savior, our salvation. Instead, he used a baby, his own baby. If you think about it, I've been away from him for 6 weeks or for a month. God loved us so much that he allowed his son. He was away from his son for 33 Christmases. And then at the end of it, he allowed his son to suffer and bleed for our sins before he got to come home. That's the kind of God we have. One thing about babies and why God used a baby, babies cannot really do anything, yeah? What we think. But babies can invoke love like nothing else. And that, folks, is the miracle of Christmas. Miracle of Christmas is love. Unadulterated, uninhibited, unconditional love. That's what Christmas is all about. That's the miracle of Christmas. Because God didn't have to make a way for us to spend eternity with him. He chose to. He could have said, look at them. They don't listen. They don't tell me. They don't do what I tell them to do. They stumble. They fall. Let them reap what they sow. Let them die. But he didn't. Instead, he said, for I so love them, that I'll give my one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the miracle of Christmas. Something that only God could do. And we'll miss it if we're not ready for it. Not ready to believe it, perceive it, and especially receive it. And even if we already received it, someone else will miss it if we refuse to take the time to show them. Our God can do all things. Amen? Amen. We just need to be ready. This is the season of miracles. Are you ready for the miracle of Christmas? Pastor Scott. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Right. Whew. You need a miracle for Christmas? You know, you can fill out this prayer request and we will be praying with you for your miracle. Fill it out, drop it in that acrylic box on the table, and we will pray with you for your miracle. What a miracle. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Hey, by the way, you know what that thing with the Ronald McDonald House? Man, I love what they do. That's why I eat at McDonald's. I know it's bad for my health, but the sacrifice that I make to support the Ronald is on me, okay? So, and if you eat at McDonald's, you know the sacrifice you go. You're putting your health in jeopardy, but you're supporting the Ronald McDonald House. Whew. And that's my excuse for, can I have a number one supersize? So they can thank me when they get home and thank me for eating at McDonald's. So they get. Yeah. So yeah, if you need a miracle, fill out that prayer request. We'll be praying with you. We're still taking shirt orders. See Susan. It's a blue polo shirt, dry fit with our New Hope East Hawaii logo on top. $25. You can pay Susan. She's taking the orders. Wow. Thank you so much. Hey, miracle. Accepting Jesus into your life. Getting taken from a dark place and being having your name written in the book of life. That is a miracle. I want to give you that chance right now to be that miracle. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. And I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? No shame. Put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands, and a miracle has happened, and all heaven rejoices for those who said yes. They are written in the book of life. They have received you. They have confessed you, and we thank you for that. This is just the beginning of the many miracles in their lives. We thank you so much, Lord, for Jesus and what he did on the cross. We thank you for sending him to save us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand? And we're going to sing.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.